Are you confused about real food and what's healthy and good for the planet? Do you need the facts about local, organic, and sustainable food? Well, get ready to change the way you eat. Get ready for The Appropriate Omnivore with Aaron Zober.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Appropriate Omnivore. I'm your host, Aaron Zober, covering lifestyles in the world of real food. As many of you know, I've got a sweet tooth, so I'm always excited to discover better versions of my favorite treats. My guest today is Lonnie Fox, who founded Rosemallow Artisanal, which she describes as farm-to-table, marshmallow truffle-inspired confections. Lonnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me here, Aaron. It's a pleasure.
It's great to have you here. We met about a month or so ago at the National Heirloom Expo. I saw you giving a talk with the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. And when you told me what you do, I was blown away. And this proposal you had for a podcast where we try the Rosemallows on the air and then we discuss them, I'm like, yeah, sign me up. Let's do it.
I love that. Yeah, the Heirloom Expo was such a fun thing. I love that so much. I'm so passionate about heirlooms. And to me, it was just a dream come true and magical to be there. And then also, it was just such an incredible honor to be able to be speaking there. That was just amazing. And it's been such a fun journey to share my product with people. And I'm excited to do this with you, Aaron.
I love the show too. That was also my first time. I'd heard about it for years, and since this was the first time in Southern California, I knew I had to attend it, and it blew me away. I loved looking at all those different heirloom vegetables and lots of great exhibitors from ones for organizations to learn more about heirloom seeds to then. You had a number of great CPG brands there and lots of great talks too.
Yeah, that was also my first time there because it had been in the Bay Area and we hadn't been able to go. And so when I knew that it had moved down here, I jumped on it too. I was like, I am going. And so it was just such an honor to be able to be speaking there as well.
Yes, same with me, and also helping out with the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund booth. They had asked me if I'd be willing to help out. And I'm like, sure, I'd love to do that. And that'd be a great chance then to also see the show. So I was totally on board, and what a wonderful show.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
All right, so let's get into your business, Rosemallow Artisanal. Tell us about how this all started.
Okay, so I have been growing food since I was a child. I remember not liking tomatoes and my parents having our first garden and them growing cherry tomatoes. And I distinctly remember eating that first tomato ripe and fresh off the vine and thinking, oh, I love tomatoes. And that was just such a profound experience for me. And I ended up denuding my parents' cherry tomato, all the fruit over that season. And growing things has just always been a very, very special thing to me. And so it's been part of my life. And it happens to be that when I met my partner prior to grad school, he is now an agriculture professor. And so it's just something that we share a common love of. We've never lived somewhere where I have not had a garden, a veggie and fruit garden where I have not grown things. I've also been an avid preserver. I've been making jam for 25 years. I love it. It's my passion. That drives my husband a little crazy. And cooking is also just been something that's been important to me my entire life. I actually happen to be a research scientist. And so during COVID, when there were all the grocery shortages and my kiddos wanted to have marshmallows, granted, I was doing anything I could for them. I just thought, why not? We can't find marshmallows. I'll just make them for them. And I'd already been extracting my own vanilla from vanilla beans. And so I just made what you would consider a quote unquote basic vanilla bean marshmallow, and it was amazing. And so intermittently throughout the pandemic, when the kiddos would ask for marshmallows, I would just make another batch, and the neighbor kids, everybody loved them, and adults loved them as well. And so I had initially thought of them as a treat for my kiddos, but since I'm super into being in the kitchen, and the kitchen is my creative space for me, and I hadn't been making jam in a long time, I thought, I've got all these strawberries and this cow poly honey. I wonder if I can step a little bit to the side and make a strawberry honey marshmallow. And I did, and it was amazing. And then I walked out in the garden and saw all the basil everywhere. And I was like, oh man, basil is incredible with strawberry and honey. And so I took a piece of basil and I put it on top of the marshmallow and I ate it. And it blew my mind. It was so good. I knew immediately, I knew that second that I had been basically captured and mesmerized. That there was no going back ever, that this was somehow my path. It was just a really interesting experience. And my husband and I went out on a date and I said, you know what, I'm going to start selling these. And so we started with this very little thing where the kids sold some lemonade in her front yard. And I put all this creative energy that I hadn't been able to used for too many things into making 20 flavors of marshmallows. And we had a sale and we made a good amount of money and people loved them. And so I thought, oh, this is fun. You know what we'll do once a month. This will be something fun to do in Claremont. The pandemic had been easing up by then. This was about a year and a half ago. And so I thought, we'll do it once a month. And so I noticed people's schedules were busy. Sometimes it would work for people and sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes it'd be very hot. And so I thought, let me try to think of a more structured way to start selling these. And so we started the online storefront and we started advertising it on social media. We sold out for our Thanksgiving offering, which I'll put in a very quick plug that we do these really amazing Thanksgiving offerings where it's pie flavors. After Thanksgiving, you want this light dessert that also has a lot of flavor and you don't want it to be super heavy, but you still want to experience what it's like to eat an incredible pumpkin pie or an incredible dessert. And so we did that and people brought them as hostess gifts. They brought them as dessert. They ate them on their own. It was really fun. And we completely sold out of Thanksgiving and we shipped them all over. It was super fun. We did the same thing for winter where we had a winter offering and they all sold out. We started getting a whole bunch of buzz and media started contacting us. And it's just been the most amazing, beautiful experience for me and just this incredible creative outlet. And you can see it when people are eating them. It's just such a fun thing for me to watch. My favorite part of Rosemel, honestly, is watching people eat them because you can see their entire being change as they eat them. It's like this gorgeous food adventure and you're having some of the highest quality food, but you're able to have it in your home.
It's a beautiful story. I love it, and I love how you mentioned the Thanksgiving and holiday rosemallows. I think that's great to know about as the holidays are coming up, and people may want to consider them for your Thanksgiving dinners and holiday parties. I'd like to circle back a little bit. You had talked about how during the pandemic you started making these as you weren't able to buy the marshmallows in the stores. Mm-hmm. When you were buying marshmallows in the stores, because there aren't a lot of ones which are grass-fed and natural. So what kind of marshmallows were you buying before that?
I think we're just at that point buying any. We buy exclusively organic at the house, and sometimes it drives the kids crazy where I'm like, y'all, that's not organic. Although with gluten-free, because my husband and daughter have celiac, there are gluten-free food items that you just cannot find organic. But they were just Jet Puff. They were just whatever you could get at the store. It's hard to even describe. When you eat a rosemallow, you're not even in the same universe as you are compared to Jet Puff. Do you want me to tell you some of the differences of rosemallows versus normal marshmallows?
Oh, please do. That's why I have you on, is to talk about this, because what I'm thinking is the whole story of how you started making this during the pandemic, essentially a problem turned into a solution, and really you began offering something which there aren't a lot. I mean, there are a couple. There's Sweet Apricity, who we've had on this program before, and also Hearthy, who makes the gelatin. They make a grass-fed marshmallow. But other than that, there aren't too many, and a lot of them are hard to find. So we definitely need more of these. I think that's so wonderful that out of the pandemic, you were able to come up with this great product. It is worth spreading beyond your family to have everyone taste. So let's get into what makes yours different than the conventional marshmallows.
So like I said before, I've been making jam for 25 years. And so at some point I realized, oh, you know what? The ingredients in the way that I make a rosemallow is almost the exact same way as a jam, because I'm using so much produce. I say what I do to my marshmallows is I ultra hydrate them. So I push the gelatin to the limit with as much fresh produce puree as it can handle. So it's very similar to a jam in that way. Also, all store marshmallows contain corn syrup, and I've been able to make my own invert sugar. You need an invert sugar because sugar has sugar crystals, and even when they heat up, they can recrystallize. And so the invert sugar has a different chemical composition and it stops them from recrystallizing. So they're not super crunchy. They're still soft and cloud-like, and it tastes like honey. So I've been calling it essentially vegan honey because that's basically what it is. Honey is also a type of invert sugar. So I feel like the thing that my invert sugar that I'm making at home from organic sugar that it's closest to would be a vegan honey. So these are much lighter, cloud-like tasting. They're not chalky at all. I don't heavily dust them. They're not dry tasting. Also, Aaron, maybe we should try one so you can get the produce flavor experience too.
Yes, let's.
Another component of them is just that they are real tasting. And as we eat them, the flavor of them is going to literally change in your mouth, not just once, lots of times. You're going to be eating it. And that's because as you're literally masticating it, you're chewing up the fresh produce and fresh herbs in there, and you're releasing the flavors at different times. And marshmallows are significantly more sophisticated than jam because of the medium. So you can have flavors held within the medium and flavors suspended into it, and then also on the top and on the bottom and even on the sides. And so you're getting just this very complex flavor journey.
All right, let's bring on the rosemallows.
Let's bring them on with the mallow truffles. The way that I like to sell them is in a flight. And so with six different flavors, we go from lightest flavor to the deepest. And so right now what we're tasting together is the late summer mallow truffles. And Aaron, do you see the one that's like pink with a light hint of some flower petals that are orange? It should be the first one in the row. I put them in order of tasting as well. And there's a tasting guide online as well.
Yes. So actually, if the listeners want to follow along with us, give them the website address for the tasting guide.
Yes. So it's www.rosemallow.com. And you can either pull down from there and go to tasting guide, or you can go to www.rosemallow.com/taste order. And we're tasting right now the late summer mallow truffles. And so Aaron and I are going to, the first one we're going to try is watermelon nectarine.
All right, let's dig in. I like this. I think the watermelon adds a nice subtle hint to the flavor of the marshmallow.
The peach starts coming in and the watermelon starts. So it starts off very, very, very subtle to me.
Yes.
The flavor is very light. And then as I eat it, the flavor deepens and gets more intense. And then I got a hit of nectarine and then I got a hit of watermelon. And I have this beautiful aftertaste in my mouth. What are you experiencing, Aaron?
Similar, yes. Like you said, it sort of starts subtle and then you really taste the watermelon flavor and the peach and nectarine. And yeah, it just has a great finishing taste to it.
It's funny with rosemallows. Most of the time you think of an aftertaste being a gross thing. But with rosemallows, I have video literally of people being like, I don't want that taste to ever leave my mouth.
Agreed. Yeah.
Because they get this great aftertaste.
Oh, totally.
It's kind of interesting because the aftertaste is actually, in this experience, a beautiful part of the journey.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Do you want to taste one more before we move on to the next?
Sure.
Okay, so the next flavor in strength is the fresh strawberry. And also the six pack is big enough for sure for 2 to 3 to possibly 4 people to share together.
Perfect. All right, let's try the strawberry. This is great. Yes, I love it. Very nice strawberry sweetness to it. Strong flavor. I love the idea because you have a lot of desserts based on strawberry, so I think that's a very smart choice to incorporate it into a marshmallow. I don't think I've seen that before, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, and this one also is a little bit crunchier because if you look, there's little red dots on top, and that is strawberry infused sugar. And so there's a little bit. The other thing that I often do with the rose mallows is I'll add a textural component of a produce or herb infused sugar, because I've noticed people like to not just have it be soft, they like to have some textural feelings going on. And that also adds to the flavor experience, because as you bite and chew that, that flavor bursts and comes to play in the flavor experience.
You know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I am a Pez collector. I don't eat the candy anymore. Uh-huh. I just get the dispensers now. But when I did eat the candy with the Pez dispensers, it kind of reminds me of the flavor of the strawberry Pez, but of course, this is a real version of it, essentially.
Yeah, sometimes what I think of rose mallows is what you think you're going to get when you get a strawberry item or a fruit-based item, and then most of the time you eat it and it's like a disappointment, but with this, it's like, oh, that's like the strawberry dessert, maybe of your dreams or what you were imagining it to be. It's like they're coming to fruition.
Are there certain ones where you based on candies or just other desserts that you liked and incorporated them into the rose mallow theme?
I don't usually base them on candies. What I generally base them on is real dessert.
Right, like the pumpkin pie you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. So I don't usually try to give them a super candy feel. I want them to feel like you're eating a complete dessert. So I even think that the truffles, they can just sing on their own. They don't necessarily have to be put on top of something. They're just amazing as they are.
Perfect. All right, so what's next in the line?
Okay, so the next one is mandarin vanilla. And I'm very proud of my vanilla because, one, I've been down the vanilla extracting rabbit hole for quite a long time. And it takes me 18 months to make the vanilla in there. And it's just utterly delicious. And I'm able to make lots of different vanilla products with the beans. And I have been buying the vanilla from a co-op, but I happen to have my vanilla bean orchid is now 50 to 60 feet long. I haven't measured it in the last 6 months, but it's been growing huge. And I'm looking forward to having some vanilla beans hopefully soon.
Wonderful. All right. Let's give it a bite.
Okay. This one is so good.
This is, because I love mandarins, and it does have a nice mandarin flavor, which I think also was similar at the beginning. It's a little subtle, and then the more you eat it, then you really feel the strong mandarin, and it's lovely. It's another great aftertaste in a good way.
Yeah, this one is just so gorgeous. It is sweet, and it's sweeter in the beginning, but as you consume it, you get a little bit of a light tartness as well. So it is very reminiscent of a mandarin where you're tasting something sweet, but then there is a light hint of citrus tartness to it. And it really is like having a crescendo in your mouth, really. Don't you feel like that, Aaron?
I do, yes. Yeah, oh, this one, this has a nice long-lasting taste. I can still, as I finished it a minute or so ago, I can still taste the mandarin in it. Yeah, it just, it's a strong taste memory, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, it's just really beautiful. Like, first, it reminds me a little bit of like a 50-50 bar. And then as it moves in more, I get more of great mandarin dessert. Because I think it goes from sweet, the sweetness of it lessens in this one as you are consuming it. And I think that's what happens, I think, with the flavor crescendo too. It's just as you're chewing it, the flavors just start jumping in.
They do. I feel a nice mandarin bliss as I finish it.
One of our mug melt is a citrus one, and it is so similarly good in coffee as well. And it can also be drank in tea, or it would be beautiful in hot cocoa as well. Mandarin chocolate, yum. Or citrus chocolate would be divine as well. We almost never have, but just to specifically talk about coffee, because I think we almost never put citrus in coffee, but it is so good. I absolutely love the citrus mug melt and coffee.
I could see that.
I feel like these are so delicious that sometimes it's hard to even come up with the words to like explain the experience that you're experiencing. Do you feel like that, Aaron?
Oh, I do. Yes. I think it's getting a little easier, but yes, especially for the first ones, I just was speechless. I was sort of like, wow, it just tastes great. But yeah.
Yeah. Now can you see why when I had that strawberry honey one with basil, where I was, this is my path forward. It's hard to not feel passionate about these.
Oh, yes.
After you consumed it.
Yeah, I think you have a lot to be proud of with these.
Thank you.
Yeah, and when you were making these, did it take some time to get the right balance of the flavors? Did you do a lot of experimenting of how much of each ingredient, each fruit, and each herb you'd add to it?
Oh, gosh, Aaron, yes. The truffles are a little bit easier. I'm not too woohoo-ish, but when I'm in the kitchen, I'm really like, Mandarin, talk to me. Tell me how you would like to be treated. I'm really trying to feel and smell and listen and connect to the ingredients to be like, how does this ingredient need to be treated? And I think when you're using really, really, really fresh produce, I can't use an exact recipe because each type of apple, each season of apple, for example, is gonna have a different flavor. And I really do need to work with it and try it and edit it and try to see how I do focus groups to try to make sure you're getting an incredible flavor experience. And then for example, with the pumpkin spice one, because specifically for the mug melt, it's going on a cup of coffee and you have to compete with coffee. Oh, I drank so many pumpkin spice lattes. I don't know if I ever want to drink one even though they're very good. I don't want to send something to somebody that they don't have and they aren't like, wow, that was incredible. I want to basically rock people's worlds with these. And especially after COVID, I feel like we all need excitement.
We do. Well, this certainly brings a lot of excitement. I can see trying all of these.
I will bring it to a party or have a date night and try the flavors with your partner. They're a really good conversation piece to bring them somewhere and then talk about the food.
Absolutely. All right. So let's continue with the second half. Which one is next?
Okay. So next is lemon fennel. This one's a little bit more savory.
I like it. Yeah. Very much what you described, more savory, which I like. And I like sour. So certainly the lemon one is up my alley.
Mm-hmm. This one is a lot more crunchy. Interestingly, I got a quick hint of lemon, and then I got a burst of fennel, and then I got lemon afterwards as well.
Similar experience for me.
Similar experience for you.
I noticed that, yes, this one seemed like you had the sugars of it, surround more of it than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a choice to balance out the sourness of the lemon?
Yeah, and also this one was a lightly more salty base. So the choice was to balance out a little bit of the salt in that one too, so that it was savory, but you still want it to feel like a dessert.
Yes, and I can see that you don't want to make it too sour, which for me, I wouldn't mind. I love sour stuff, mm-hmm. but I know that not everybody is like me. So I think smart choice to not make it taste too lemony for those who can't handle sour, and when looking for dessert, they still want something more on the sweet side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny, as we've been talking with the aftertaste, it keeps on changing flavor in my mouth. I had fennel, then I had a quick hint of lemon, and now it's back to some sort of fennel in my mind. But the fennel is fresh fennel from the garden, so it's not like a heavy licorice tasting fennel. It's much more of a soft fennel flavor.
Well, something I like about the fennel, which I hope people are looking at the website, because I know that this is a podcast that's audio only. They all have such beautiful, colorful looks. What I specifically like about this is I love the idea of seeing green on it. That's a nice touch of something that you don't typically think of dessert, and well, at least not dessert in a good way. You know, a green for mold. Yeah. But no, this is a good green on it, and I just that was so beautiful seeing green on a marshmallow truffle.
Thank you. Do you want to try another one?
Oh, yeah. Let's continue.
Okay. So this is pineapple cocoa.
I like this. This has a little more of a nougaty taste to it. It's interesting. Almost sort of like a Three Musketeers, mm-hmm. but with a little pineapple flavor to it.
Mm-hmm. This one, oh, God. There's the perfect amount of salt on this. I think this one is rocking my world right now with the salt.
It is, yes. I really like the texture. Like I said, it has a nougaty texture to it.
It's so good. I'm trying to describe it.
If you like the kind of candies with nougaty texture, like the Snickers, Three Musketeers, I think this one go with it. And the pineapple was good. It certainly sweetens it, but similar, I think, to the lemon one, you didn't overpower it with the pineapple.
Yeah, I feel like you get cocoa and then a little bit of salt, but in a beautiful way. And then there's a little bit of lemon in this one too. So I felt like I got like a little hit of citrus, and then the pineapple came in. And then the cocoa and the salt came in. That was just a party going on. That was an otherworldly experience eating that one.
That was, I mean, they all are, I would say.
Thank you.
None of them have disappointed so far.
Wow, they're all so good. That one is very yummy. Okay, do you want to try the last one?
Yeah, I figure let's conclude with that.
Can I talk about roses for a second?
Oh, sure. You are called Rose Mallow, so I think we should get into the rose part.
Yeah. So, okay. We're Rose Mallow for a few reasons. One, both my kiddos have an RO in their name. Two, Rose Mallow is an edible native flower. So I really liked that. Three, roses themselves are one of my favorite flowers. When I was a little girl, we'd have these summer family get together at my great grandmother's house, and we'd all go swimming in the pool, and I'd be there with all my cousins and my aunts and uncles, and my great grandma would always take some extra time to chat with me. And I was the only great grandchild that liked eating her fresh figs from her tree, and we really connected on that. And she would talk to me about growing up, and it was just beautiful. And then in the summers, I remember at the end of the afternoon, after we'd be swimming, she had a rose garden on the side of her house. And I'd grab my mom's hand, and the wind chimes would be dinging in the wind, and I would make my mom smell every single rose, and we would try to decide which one was our favorite. So whenever I hear wind chimes or smell roses, I think of that experience. So rose is very special to me.
I love that. So with that story, I'm really excited to see what this one is, because this is the Rose Mallow.
So the petals are from my garden. So what I do to make this one is I take the petals from the garden and I literally grind them up into the sugar. The sugar has a crystal, so it has a hard surface. So it really allows the oils and all the flavors of the rose to infuse into the sugar. And then I use that sugar to make them. And then I also make a rose extract. And that takes me a really long time because rose petals are delicate and don't have a lot of flavor. So I'm continually having to soak petals and then pull them out and then soak more to get a really strong rose extract.
All right. So should we give it a try now?
Yes, let's give it a try.
It's good. So at the beginning, I can feel just the general marshmallow taste. And then as it gets in more, then certainly the flavor of the rose soothes in nicely. And as I'm consuming it then, yeah, oh, that's a beautiful. It's like I can feel like the rose is glowing in my mouth.
I know.
It just feels like there's some earthy aura in my mouth.
It's rose, but in a beautiful way where it doesn't taste like perfumey.
Mm-mm.
It just tastes gorgeous.
It does. And somehow I feel this picture in my mind. I can see a rose blooming and the petals coming up. This definitely gives a nice euphoria to it, I feel.
It's beautiful. I love giving this one to people that don't like florals and saying, here, try this, because it totally is going to change your mind on eating florals.
It is. It's a nice cleanser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a perfect way to end the whole sampler experience.
Now, in the process of making all these, when did you create this one?
I created that one last fall. So I did an event at Cal Poly, which was a fundraiser. And I do it every year. And I donated hundreds of rose mallows to them. It was the Huntley College of Agriculture. And you know what? Cal Poly, they have the Kellogg Rose Garden. So I thought, oh, it'll be fun to do a rose flavor. So actually, I started with cucumber rose, which sounds like a crazy, weird flavor, but oh, it was just gorgeous. And from there, then started doing just rose as well. But I need to bring back the cucumber rose. The weather was so weird this year that a good majority of our cucumber squash crops in our garden didn't do super great. Last year, we had a bumper crop of cucumbers, and this year, not so much. But our season, because we're in Southern California, isn't over yet. And I have some little lightly sour cucumbers that are coming in now. So I may try to do a cucumber rose flavor again.
I've always loved the combination of sweet and savory.
Me too.
I love the idea of cucumbers. I think they go well. Going back to the rose mallow. So Was the business called that before you created this one?
It was created Rosemount because I thought, well, no matter what, I love roses. So I thought that was the perfect name for it.
And then you figured it's Rosemount. You got to have one that literally does have roses in it.
Yeah, it happened really fast, Aaron, where it was, I'm going to start selling these. We had our first sale a week or so later. I thought I was going to sell 3 marshmallows, and I sold hundreds that first sale. So I probably sold like 200 marshmallows at that first sale. It was buzzing and people were into them. What I do usually with creating flavor is that either something's popping in the garden, and so I make it from that. I think that year, because it was a drought, remember we had a severe drought last year?
I do remember that.
Yeah. So our roses had suffered a little bit. So it wasn't a flavor. It took longer for that flavor to come about because we just didn't have that many roses. This year with all the rains, we had lots and lots of roses. But also, it's pretty easy to convince people once you try one that these are unlike anything you've ever had before and super yummy. So it's been an interesting progression where the business has gone from. And then, yeah, with the flavors, I'm just like, oh my gosh, my neighbors from their grapevine overproduced. And so she literally brought me 25 pounds of grape. And so that's how the flavors often get created, where I'm like, oh, this is going on in the garden. Or somebody's like, oh, Lonnie will know what to do with this produce. Sometimes it's excessive. 25 pounds of grapes is a lot. But I don't want to just give you straight up orange or straight up grape. I do generally try to come with a slightly different flavor pairing, even if it's just slightly in the background. One thing that you probably wouldn't have even noticed is that the strawberry actually has a little bit of cardamom on it. And the only thing the cardamom does is it activates more taste buds in your mouth. You don't even notice it. It's just lighting more things up in your mouth.
So the whole late summer mallow truffle tasting flight was amazing. And I know we also have to sample the fall mug melt. So should we get into those now?
Yes, let's do it. So the mug melt should go onto something that is hot, whether it be hot coffee, which I have. And then, Aaron, do you want to say what you have?
Yes. So this is a signature drink of mine. It's a hot chocolate collagen. So your traditional hot chocolate, but using a little collagen in it. And specifically, a lot of these collagen companies actually have chocolate-flavored collagen. So I put a little chocolate collagen in it mixed with just a bit of cocoa powder and little milk and cream and honey. Yum. And there I have it. There's my signature hot chocolate collagen drink.
And then you also have some tea going, right?
Yes. So I've quit coffee a while back because of the caffeine and other things. And I will say I did miss the taste of it a little. So I discovered an herbal tea called Dandelion Tea, which has some of the great taste of it. And this is, in fact, using the company Ticino. So they make a great variety of essentially coffee flavored teas. So I have their dark roast here.
Yum. And I'm drinking coffee with a vegan maple vanilla mug melt. The vegan ones work a little bit different because they have a different recipe because they're vegan. So the regular ones will bubble and melt and the bubbles will pop. The vegan ones are coated on the bottom. So the coating will flavor your drink immediately and the vegan ones will float on the top more and only melt a little bit. And then you can consume them at the end, but there's enough flavor in them to beautifully flavor your coffee.
All right. So I've discussed the two beverages that I have on my desk. And now let's get into what the mug toppers are that I'm sampling with them.
So you have an orange honey mug melt in yours, and that is made with Cal Poly avocado honey from their avocado trees and their hives. And then it also happened to have Cal Poly citrus in it. The other one that you're drinking is floral honey. It also has Cal Poly honey in it, but along with that, it actually has various flowers from our garden ground up in there and extracted. So it has fennel pollen, rose, lavender, and then a tiny bit of citrus in there just to give it some complexity and a tiny hint of ginger so that you get a more complex. It does taste similar to wildflower honey, but all the floral components amp up and give you super heightened honey flavor in yours. And then I have maple vanilla and it's vegan. I make sure to make vegan partners of every single product.
All right, so I'll give the hot chocolate collagen a try.
Okay, yay.
This is nice. I think chocolate and orange pair very well. And the way I found it is have sip of the chocolate and then little bits of the mug topper are still there. And so I can taste the orange that's melted off from them.
I really loved orange and chocolate. I grew up eating those orange chocolate balls. And so, anytime that I have the ability to have something with citrus and chocolate, I just relish it. I also really enjoy having that same mug melt on my coffee as well. It's divine. It's bright, citrusy, and just flavorful and gorgeous.
I agree. It is a wonderful combination. Yes, I can very well picture those chocolate orange balls in my head. And just had another sip of it, actually tasted a little of the petal as I was drinking it too. So it's nice because it has little surprises as you drink the hot chocolate. Then those orange flavors and the citrus flavors really kick in.
Exactly. Yeah, Rosebello is sort of like a food experience journey where it's not supposed to be you eat one thing, it's supposed to be a whole activity in your mouth and in your senses when you're enjoying it.
Absolutely. So let's hear the experiences and sensations in your mouth that you have with your beverage.
Okay, I'm really excited to drink my coffee. This is my first sip of coffee today. Just before I even put it into my mouth, as I was about to put it in my mouth, I get this overwhelming, beautiful smell of real maple syrup. Before I even drink it, that was enjoyable. Yum. Oh gosh. Oh, it's perfect. It's gorgeous. It's mapley. When we lived in Michigan, we had a friend who had a small plot of land, and her dad had a very small maple stand where they would make maple syrup together.
Oh,
And as
yeah.
I smelled that, and while we were living there, we would go and everybody would hang out and chat, eat and drink while the maple boiled for hours. It was really fun. And as soon as I brought that up to my mouth and then I drank it, I was immediately transported to Michigan, smelling the maple syrup boiling and then tasting that divine fresh maple syrup. I often think of maple syrup as fall, but when I drank that, it almost felt like wintry as well, that it wasn't something that I would just want to consume in fall. I'd be wanting to consume this in winter as well. It's just really great.
Yes, being from Ohio, so just south of Michigan, I can relate to that because you bring back those memories of how I would tour the maple farms as a kid and taste the maple candy. And yes, when you're from the Midwest, especially Ohio and Michigan, maple is not just a fall food, but it is winter as well, and perhaps any time of year. There, it's actually local. I love maple syrup as a sweetener. But in California, it's not really a local sweetener like, say, honey is. But yes, in the Midwest, it's nice that there's actually local maple syrup there.
Because we did that, we have a real special place in our heart for high quality, delicious maple syrup.
Absolutely.
So that was really fun. This is actually the first time I've had the maple vanilla one. I've had the maple cinnamon one quite a bit, which is super fun, dynamic, bold. And this one is much more subtle. It feels much more meditative and transporting me back, whereas the cinnamon felt very fall interactive. And maybe it was just a different time of day that I was drinking it also. So, do you want to try the floral honey one? That is one of my favorites as well.
Yes, let's give that a shot now. Yes, the floral honey adds very well to the dandelion tea and gives it a nice sweet taste to it.
So, that one is also topped with edible rose petals from the garden. And what looks like sugar on top is organic sugar, but it's also infused with honey and then all of those extracts. So if you sampled a tiny hint of the rosemel that's still floating on top, you would get this flavor burst.
Okay, let's try that now. Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, you have a little rosemary on it. And like you said, the flavors just shoot out.
So the things that I like about the mug melts are one, it only lightly sweetens it. So you're putting in something in your drink that is adding quite a bit of flavor and only a subtle sweetness. Also, it's real ingredients. So you don't have any of those weird aftertastes or fake feelings. In fact, that's why people will often talk about the aftertaste of Rosemallows being just delicious because it's real food. And so instead of being left with a gross aftertaste, you're left with an aftertaste you don't want to leave your mouth. And so you get this elevated, super nice coffee shop experience at your home with just dropping in a simple mug melt. And then also they're decorated really beautiful. So you get beautiful art also on top of your coffee or tea or hot beverage.
Yes, we talked about that earlier in the program about how we shouldn't always think of an aftertaste as a bad thing. With Rosemallow, there's such a thing as a good aftertaste. And I love the idea that you're sipping them and yeah, a few sips and just taste like the normal drink. And then when the petals float or a little of crumbs, what's left over of the mug toppers, then you have this nice surprise in it. I had two great mug toppers and yours sounds excellent as well. And I know that you've got a couple other mug toppers. Let's talk about those.
Yes. So we have this really amazing brown sugar pumpkin mug melt as well, where it's lightly spicy. It's real pumpkin that I grew. And so it gives the element of having, in an only lightly sweet way, pumpkin pie in your cup. So it's a great way to start the morning. For Thanksgiving, it would be a perfect Thanksgiving dessert. If you don't want to actually have a piece of pie, but a lot of people want to have a hot drink after dinner, you could just toss in your mug melt in there. We're actually collaborating with a local tea company called Wu Cup, and they have a caramel oolong, and that's a perfect pairing after dinner. I also have a specifically orange chocolate flavor that I have, and then I'll be releasing a whole bunch of winter flavors. The pumpkin will be leaving after Thanksgiving because that's seasonal. The orange will stay until it sells out, and same with the honey. And then I'll get some more seasonal flavors, most likely a mint, and I've been trying to come up with any flavors. In fact, if anybody has any ideas of flavors that they would specifically like, let me know. One of them I'm thinking is potentially eggnog flavored.
Yes, that was one I was going to suggest. I was going to say, I can suggest a bunch.
Oh, yeah, suggest a bunch. Tell me what you think.
Doing my blog, I know about all the popular flavors, so I was thinking you could also do a peppermint and a gingerbread.
I did that last night. Yes, peppermint and gingerbread are delicious. I should probably do both of those because I did peppermint last year and it almost tasted like candy cane, but in the best way possible. I thought I was being novel by mixing mint and cinnamon and vanilla, and that's almost candy cane, but a knock your socks off candy cane. So I'll definitely do that flavor again. Last year, I was able to mimic eggnog without any eggs or dairy, and it
Wow.
was beautiful. I even had a friend who was like, "There's no way you can mimic this without those other ingredients." And I remember him trying and being like, "How did you do that? That was better than eggnog." So, I definitely think those would be good flavors. And then I should also do gingerbread because I'm having some recipes posted in a national magazine, and one of them is gingerbread. So, gingerbread's also beautiful. Those are great flavors. I think that's what I'll do. And then maybe I'll also have something more just quote unquote normal, which is like French vanilla or something like that.
So lots of great flavors, both in your mug melts and your mallow truffles. And you're talking a lot about how these are things you grew in the garden. And I'm seeing that that's becoming a larger thing now in foods. This is part of something which I call natural foods get more natural. I'm seeing it in lots of different ways. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago as I had a sustainable and impact investor on the show about supply chains and companies which grow the food themselves and then using the product. So essentially, they're in both the agriculture space and the CPG space.
So I like to call Rosemallow beyond scraps.
I love that.
That's the terms that I've come up with because not only are we growing almost essentially everything for them, but if you look at the infused sugars, I'm making my own extract. So I'm making my own vanilla extract. And I won't only use strawberry. I never only use an extract to flavor these. But if I do, I'll use them in partnership with the produce. So the produce can show up in different different ways, but I'm making my own strawberry extract, blueberry extract, everything. And so there is an insane amount of intentionality going on in every single part of rose mallow. So you could tell that there was like a real complex flavor journey in actually consuming them. I make sure that the gelatins are either kosher fish-based or grass-fed halal or vegan. And I've also made sure that there's no soy in them, because I realized that one of the things that I'd been using for the vegan marshmallows when I first made them had soy in it. So I found a replacement. And so I'm trying to make them completely allergen friendly. So no major allergens, and the packaging is fully compostable. So I'm thinking about every little piece, and that goes into making our own invert sugar and every single thing. I'm thinking about this and trying to make this great for the earth and also something that we all enjoy consuming and as many people can consume it as possible.
All important things from the sourcing of the gelatin. This is the appropriate omnivore. So of course, grass-fed gelatin very much fits with the mission of what I do. And yes, recyclable packaging, that's very important. And I see that with a lot of companies that I bring on the show and cover on the blog. So there's the vegan gelatin, there's the grass-fed halal gelatin, and the fish one. So now including the beef and the fish, is that a matter of being all inclusive?
Yeah. So you know what actually happened first, Aaron, is one, we're Jewish. And so I had always thought that the standard gelatin that you were buying at the store, the Knox gelatin, was made from beef. My husband and I both thought that's what standard gelatin that you buy from the store is, beef gelatin. And we don't keep kosher in our house, but I do have family members that do not eat pork. And so I accidentally gave my niece, this is before I even started the business, way before I started the business, I gave her one of my regular marshmallows with Knox gelatin. And I realized, oh my God, my sister-in-law let me know that there was pork in it. And I just thought, oh goodness, this is not what I wanted. So then that's what put me down the path of intentionality behind gelatin. And so I also wouldn't have wanted to use beef gelatin that wasn't grass-fed, but it was still in the early days. And so that's when I started going veered hard left to getting grass-fed beef gelatin. Also, I made sure it was halal because we have some really good friends that are Muslim and I wanted them to be able to eat it. And so I went for that. And then I also noticed that pescatarians are much more okay with fish gelatin than they are with beef gelatin. And I also wanted to have a vegan one so that people that are vegan can have that as well.
I'm also Jewish, and it was similar for me. I didn't know that until maybe, about 10 or so years ago, because I also didn't keep kosher growing up. And I remember friends telling me how they weren't able to have some types of Jell-O growing up because it was used with the pork gelatin.
Yeah, we didn't keep kosher at all. And my husband actually didn't either. So it really did surprise me. And my sister-in-law doesn't keep kosher either. Her and my father-in-law do not eat pork, and neither do her kiddo. And so for me, respecting what people want to eat is insanely important. And honoring other people's needs is insanely important to me. So I think that's maybe also why I tried, even though the pecan pie one we did last year for the Thanksgiving offering was by far people's favorite, I don't know if I'm going to offer it again because I want to make sure that people with nut allergies are safe. So I just think it's really important to have space for people.
It is. And another thing I've seen is that there aren't a lot of kosher grass-fed beefs. Because I've seen that with Lisa Rose of Real Food Kosher. She's talked about that. The dilemma she faces where there are a couple lines of grass-fed kosher beef, but not a lot. And so I think that that is great that you have the fish gelatin for those that don't do the non-kosher meats.
Yeah, and actually, you know, since we have quite a few Jewish friends, they really appreciate it. Or sometimes they'll actually just buy the vegan ones.
I could see that too.
Yeah, so that's worked really well for them. Marshmallows and little candies have a place in a lot of our Jewish minds for Passover. I think of those little citrus candies that we all ate.
Oh, yeah. I know those.
This is like a much, much more delicious version of that.
Oh, totally. Yes. Well, and as you mentioned how it's important to be gluten-free, because of your husband, your kids. And so this would be suitable for Passover too, because there's no leavened grains in it.
Yeah, there's no corn syrup in it. So these would work out delicious. We have a good friend who grows etrogs. And last year I made an etrog marshmallow. And I have to tell you, that was one of the most delicious marshmallows I've ever made, because etrog is very floral along with the citrus. And it is just incredibly divine. Honestly, I have all of these amazing flavor combinations and ideas, and I need a bigger following so that I can be making more specialty products, where every Sukkot I sell an etrog offering, and I have specialty Passover offerings. But right now I don't have the following, a big enough of a customer base to be offering even more specialty ones. Also, you tasted the rose one. It was delicious. And you could see how I could manage all the different flavors. I'm quite good at dealing with florals. So I'd love to do something with California native plants that are very herby and floral tasting, but also just out of this world good. But I need to have a larger following to be able to offer those niche offerings.
Perhaps you could make a sufganiyot mug topper.
Yes, I would love to do that. I gotta think about what would be a fun sufganiyot mug topper, because, I mean, maybe grape is good. I need to also talk to, okay, if there are any Jews out there that have an idea, comment. And then we'd love to hear from you. And then I'm gonna ask family, and I'll probably put that out and say, like, hey, what sort of, like, Jewish flavors would you like? And I should probably do something where it feels a little, where it, I can have like a little smaller, like something that feels a little more Hanukkah themed, where I have like a chocolate one and I can have a grape one and just have like a mini offering. And then something else that feels very sufganiyot-ish. Oh, I should have apple for, you know, the applesauce.
Yes. Oh, that's brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, I'll probably try to do something like where we do some sort of like mini offering of like Hanukkah ones. It's just sometimes hard to have like the bandwidth to do so many offerings. And but, you know, anyone can buy that one. It could be just be like a mini offering where it just stays up all with chocolate, and then chocolate and a grape, and then an apple. Do you think people, are those flavors that seem appealing to you?
Absolutely. I think they all sound great. And I can see what you mean, that this is a lot to take in, because you've talked already about so many different flavors. So I imagine that it is a lot to add in yet more flavors, but I think you're up to it. I think you seem determined to do it.
I'll probably try to do some sort of like mini offering where you can buy them, and that they're decorated a little bit more like the quote unquote winter ones are decorated very like, it doesn't necessarily feel Christmassy. They feel very just like colorful. It just feels like festive rather than, you know, there were some that would be like blue and silver, and some that would be like red with a little bit of green, so that it felt like appealing to anyone really.
Right. So do a little testing of the waters.
Yeah. Well, that's what it did last year when I offered the winter ones. I just did a variety of beautiful colors in there. So it just felt like a jewel box rather than this is Christmas or this is Hanukkah. It just felt like this is a beautiful wintry gift.
Yeah. And as you get along, then you get a little more specific and you see what people like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. Exactly.
Sounds great. All of these are ones I would definitely try.
Thank you. It's interesting. Our buying population are not Jews. I don't know why Jews are not buying. It's not because we practice, we're part of a temple. I don't know if we just have such a weird idea of marshmallows in the Jewish community, or maybe it's also because marshmallows traditionally had been pork-based.
Right, like we talked about, maybe people keep kosher, associate marshmallows and gelatin with pork-based gelatin.
Yes, even though these are made with kosher fish gelatin. And I do have friends that do keep kosher that do buy them from us. But I haven't been able to branch out into the wider Jewish community of Jews that don't know us buying. But yeah, that's also something I would love, because I would love to have a wider audience purchasing these things so I can start making more niche offerings where it's specifically fun targeted for Hanukkah. Like I had some fun ones targeted for Passover as well, but I need a wider audience knowing about us and buying from us so I can have niche offerings.
Yes, that sounds great.
So we were going to do for Passover, just to throw it out because it was fun. We had come up with all these ideas, and I was going to do nut-free Haroset flavor for Passover. And then I was also going to do, because you know, a lot of us on Passover have coconut. So I was going to do a toasted coconut thing.
A macaroon flavor, maybe.
Yes, exactly.
Rosmello macaroons.
Yes, but I need to have a wider audience of people trying and buying these things so I can have fun offerings for each holiday, whether it be Diwali or for Hindu families or Muslim, and we can have offerings for Muslim families. It would be very easy for us to do things for all the holidays, in all honesty. We have friends from all backgrounds.
I think so. I love it. So lots of potential for the future. And I know already that certainly seasonal flavors, like you had mentioned, are a big part of it. I know that you still have some of the last offerings of the late summer
Yes.
Rosmallows. Is that correct?
Yes, I think we have three or four boxes left. So what we're transitioning now into, and I'm going to try in probably the new year, reframe how we're doing offerings where we have flavors staying for maybe even all year or something like that, and then just seasonal ones popping in. So right now, what's coming in as the late summer is going out is I'm calling it Garden Harvest, and you can either eat them on their own or you can pair them with cheeses. And so the Garden Harvest one has a pear raspberry, which has a little bit of a crunch, a honey topped with fennel pollen from the garden, a honey topped with sage, so you have a little bit of savory. And then there's also a grape compote one in there. So like you were saying with the soup and gnocchi, I already have a grape jelly one in there, and it has some spices in there. It's just delicious. That's great with manchego. And then there's a few other flavors, and I have them listed online. They're all paired with cheeses and they're so beautiful. They're topped with literally flowers and herbs from the garden, and they're just very earthy and beautiful. And then we also have our Thanksgiving offering that's up with six different delicious flavors, including caramelized pear, which everybody is absolutely loving. We also have a mulled wine mocktail where you get at first a hint of the mulled flavors and then you get grape at the end. We, of course, have pumpkin in there and an apple pie flavor, a caramelized apple. It's really exciting. And then our winter flavors will be coming in soon.
Love it. Sounds great. Lots of great ones to sample.
And I hope everyone will order some for Thanksgiving or for the winter holidays.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's lots of great choices you have for that perfect holiday dessert. I look forward to seeing what other flavors you introduce because I'm blown away by the ones you have, and I'm sure that the other ones will be amazing. Talked about how these aren't just for kids. Adults can enjoy these too, but obviously there is a big part that's geared towards kids because you had started making these for your kids during the pandemic, and kids in general, I think, love marshmallows. Something that I see about it is with making things such as marshmallows with real grass-fed gelatin, I think it's a great way to incorporate more gelatin into people's diets because we all need more collagen in our diets. And is that something that you've thought about too when making these?
Honestly, Aaron, before you said that, one of our friends that's a farmer had actually mentioned that to me. I feel like gelatin gets a really bad rap. So I don't often honestly talk about that, but I should honestly start talking about that a little bit. And I will say also with the kids, although my kids like them and other kids do, I market them and focus them for adults. They are supposed to be a sophisticated, complex adult treat. So I don't target kids at all with them. If you look at most of our social media stuff, it's adults. If I do have a child reacting to it, it's very minimal because these are sophisticated desserts. And in fact, one of our new lines that we just released, we're still coming up with the name. We're going to do a little contest to have people help us decide if it should be called a tail topper or a float tail. They're the little rose mallows, and they float on a cocktail or mocktail or on even just a shot of whiskey or tequila or rum or Kahlua. And they soak in the cold beverage and they engorge and expand. And then as you eat them, you get a mix of whatever they're soaked in along with the mallow flavor, and they're divine. So we really are making this as a fun adult thing. And I guess also because as a parent, I felt so much of my energy went into these sweet little wild kiddos during COVID. I feel like a lot of parents are just so depleted. We need something for ourselves. And I think that was part of also with Rosemallow, what my inspiration was to give us depleted parents something nice in our lives.
Well, I'm partial to the name Float Tails.
Oh, me too.
Nice. That makes sense, because certainly marshmallows shouldn't only be thought of as kids' food. And I do like the idea of a marshmallow for adults. As your company expands, could you see also having a line for kids, or is that something that's left to the other companies?
No, I totally could, because if my kiddo's school, or honestly, if anyone, I probably shouldn't say this on the radio, because I almost never say no if somebody comes and asks me for something. So a school or a nonprofit, I will make something for people happily. So I will make things for them. And I make an incredibly good birthday cake flavor. I made it because there was a birthday party. I was going to bring a treat. And then they started listing off what people were allergic to. And it was such a long list. I was like, well, the only thing that's going to be totally benign allergen-wise for all these crazy allergies is a rosemallow. So I did a birthday cake flavor rosemallow. And it was delicious and beautiful. So none of the kids that had allergies felt like they were even remotely missing out. They felt like they had an even more special treat.
Oh, yeah. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, I love the birthday cake flavor. Interestingly, of the desserts, I don't know. For some of me, cake has never been one of my favorites. I like it, but I prefer other things to it. So I could see me possibly preferring your rosemallow birthday cake to regular cake.
And they're just little beautiful jewels too. When you look at them, the kids just felt like it was so magical and special. And adults feel like that too. I have people being like, they're so pretty. And I'm like, yes, they are pretty, but they taste even better than they look.
So you talked a little about how you could expand into kids rosemallows, and you talked about some of the other flavors you're considering. Any plans to do other products outside of the rosemallows?
So for right now, I do have a gluten-free food blog, because when Aaron, my husband, got diagnosed first before Rory, my daughter, it felt like a death sentence to Aaron. It was really hard for him. And I don't think he had realized how far gluten-free food has come in the last 15 years. And then I've been on a Facebook group with maybe 100,000 celiacs or something like that. It's a huge Facebook group from all over the world. And oh man, these poor celiacs are having just like a rough time. But they're living with basically a world-class pastry chef. Aaron and Aurora are. And so what I realized was I wanted to start sharing my recipes with people. So we have a whole food blog where it's a seasonal food blog. I only use 1 to 2 types of very easy to find gluten-free flours. So you're not having to buy 7 different types of gluten-free flours, because other friends have told me, I'll try to make this gluten-free thing for my friend, but I have to buy 10 different types of flours. And so I wanted it to be very straightforward, easy. A gluten-free flour mix that you can just buy at a grocery store. And I make them all with the same King Arthur mix. And then if you're doing breads, I also add in a little bit of Bob's Red Mill gluten-free all-purpose, because the bean flour is in there, give it a little bit more structure. And my goal with that, most of the people that taste the food are people that do eat gluten. And I want this to be like, wow, that was one of the best cakes I've ever eaten, and not, oh, that's good for gluten-free. I want it to be like, that cake rocked my world. And I wanted to share that with others so that they could also make that. So if something ends up happening where Rosemallow is much larger and I want to have another creative venture, I'll probably just keep on working with the food blog and teaching people how to make really good gluten-free food that is going to rock your world.
Excellent. I'm sure you've got a lot to share with the gluten-free food blog and with the upcoming flavors that we can expect to see from Rosemallow. We've talked about all these great offerings that you have, and I know that people want them both locally, and since We are on the internet. People can hear this from anywhere. So I know that you do ship. How can people have your wonderful Rose Mallows and Mug Toppers shipped to them?
It's very, very easy. You just go to rosemallow.com. And then the first page that you'll hit there is our online storefront. And then you can just go and order anything you want and I ship it. And the shipping is pretty reasonable. It starts at $4 and then it doesn't go up that much. And I can ship it either first class mail or I can ship it priority. And you have the choices of the two.
Wonderful. We're just about out of time, but before we go, give the listeners again the address where they can find Rose Mallow on the internet and social media, and also let the listeners know where they can find your food blog for the gluten-free foods.
Yeah, so our web address is www.rosemallow.com. And the gluten-free food blog, you can just click on the tabs and it's a drop-down. It's called GF Recipes. You can also go straight to rosemallow.com/GFR. And we're continually updating our recipes on there. And with Rose Mallow, we do seasonal offerings. So there's always lots of fun new flavors. And you can come check out our float tails or tail toppers, whatever they end up being called, our mug melts, and our mallow truffles.
Awesome. It's been great having you on the show and a lot of fun being able to sample them with you. So I look forward to hearing more about Rose Mallow as it develops.
Thank you so much, Aaron. This was a true pleasure, and I had so much fun tasting them with you. That was great.
Definitely. I had a lot of fun as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of The Appropriate Omnivore. New episodes of the show are released every Wednesday. Follow me on social media for more information on the next episode. And to make sure you never miss any of my podcasts, subscribe to The Appropriate Omnivore on your favorite podcast site or app. You can also listen to all of my podcasts on my website, appropriateomnivore.com. There you can find recipes from the guests I interview, plus all of my articles covering lifestyles in the world of real food. Until next time, my pantry is officially closed.